So even though, here the Tenth Circuit's saying, even though the condition, the physical condition was temporary, it was a disability where it substantially impacted his life and disrupted his ability to perform manual tasks. So the focus in this case, for purposes of whether the impairment was a covered disability, is whether it substantially limited a major life activity, back to the slide we just looked at, not the duration of impairment, not that it was only 3 months. Scarcity was a Tenth Circuit case. Let's look now at a Fifth Circuit case, similar question, the Jennings case on page 20 of the outline. So here, y'all have this employee in mind, day two of employment, still in mandatory training, she trips in the parking lot and hurts herself. The doctor diagnoses her with left ankle and shin pain, releases her to return to that work that day with restrictions for 1 week of no climbing stairs and no walking more than 2 hours per day. The employee did not return to training despite having that release, alleging that there was no elevator to take her to the second floor where training was occurring. Of course, that's a disputed fact. Employer says, yes, there was an elevator. She also asked for a training option on the first floor of the building. And the employer said, you know, I'm sorry, that's not an option for us. Everybody else is training on the second floor. So employer said, no problem. Once your restrictions are lifted at the end of the week, you can come back and start training again next week, which is what happened. And she remained employed. After some time, some performance issues was terminated, and she alleged disability discrimination based on the failure to accommodate her and discrimination against her, ending her employment because of these issues related to her training. The Fifth Circuit, unlike the Tenth that we just talked about, said no disability here. Her one-week restrictions were not substantially limiting. Even if there was a disability, which the court held there wasn't, she was also accommodated by allowing her to restart the training the next week because an unpaid leave of absence was an effective accommodation in this case. And the employee's not entitled to her preferred accommodation of training on the first floor. That leave sufficed. So with these two cases, we see very short in time two different answers on whether an impairment, a temporary condition limiting the ability to do manual activities, or in the second case, walking, climbing stairs, was a disability. So what's the point? Very fact-specific analysis on whether a temporary condition is going to rise to the level of disability under the ADA. No magic time frame here. Employers would love to see a clear line. There just is not one. Fact-specific analysis. So continuing on the trend with respect to impairments, let's look at a couple cases that are not related to duration. The first is the Green case on page 20 of the outline, another Fifth Circuit case here. Mr. Green was a mechanic and who suffered from partial blindness following a work-related incident where he got something in his eye from a van that he was working on. As a result, he was not able to perform some of his night shift duties or work in poorly lit areas. Part of his job as a mechanic for UPS there was to work on a vehicle and then move it within the lot to another space to work on the next vehicle. He wasn't able to do that. So after a period of leave, he was offered a part-time position. He declined, didn't want to work part-time. And his request was, no, can we just have another mechanic on duty so that that mechanic can drive the vehicles around when needed? UPS said no. Eventually, his employment ended, and he sued, alleging that he had a disability, which was his partial blindness, and he was discriminated against based on that disability. Here, the Fifth Circuit said no, that partial blindness, not a disability, for a couple reasons. The first was it came out during litigation that he actually drove at night his personal vehicle. So he was able to do that driving. But also, the fact that he could not perform a unique aspect of his specific job, which was required a CDL to drive these commercial vehicles around the parking lot, was not a substantial limitation that rose to the level of disability. So that's an important, you'll hear that thread throughout, the inability to perform, the unique aspect of a specific job not substantially limiting in a major-like activity because it's such a narrow limitation. Another impairment case, the Colton case, an 11th Circuit case on page 22 of our outline. In Colton, the employee who was 4 feet 6 inches tall, to give you a reference, with the help of my heels, that puts me a foot taller than her. So, you know, relatively short in stature, Colton was, worked at an auto mechanic shop and retail store, requested a shorter table or a step stool because she could not perform her work with the height of the counters and tables that she was working at. She was eventually terminated because she was, quote, not a good fit and asked too many questions.